Linda Newton sees great potential in a military-wide shared information network. The concept is called the Global Information Grid 2.0, or GIG 2.0. Newton is the Deputy Chief of Staff. Well, she has a big, long title. She is Executive Director for Communications and the CIO at U.S. Pacific Fleet, and she joins us right now live. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on the show this afternoon.
Well, we're pleased that you're here. So, first off, give folks an idea, because some people may have heard of the of GIG 1.0 and what it was. Give folks a sort of just bring us all up to date so we know what GIG 1.0 was and how it rolls into GIG 2.0.
GIG 1.0 was the construct of building, and GIG stands for the Global Information Grid. And at the time, it was really the ability to have a common transport around the world that the military services and different bases can plug into so they can be connected into a defense network.
And these are very, very big internet pipes. So essentially, throughout DOD, you can communicate and share information and do all sorts of stuff on these just enormous, carrying all sorts of data.
Right, and this is what we would generally know as our terrestrial network, similarly at home through our internet service providers.
And so GIG 2.0, the differences would be what?
It looks at moving beyond just the basic concept of how do you connect everybody through a network, through providing them the similar type of services that you might see in Web 2.0, which is moving from just how do you pull the networks together to how do you have the services meet common policies and standards, how do you get them, and some of the networking geeks and gurus out there will talk about how do you authenticate users, how do you access and control the access from other than a username and password, and how do you bring together what we call directory services, which is one thing from an address list to just a compilation of all the different applications and services that might be on there.
I remember covering the early stages of GIG 1.0, and everyone was saying, there were some people out there saying, why do we need this big of a pipe? It will never use that much bandwidth. And it ends up that I think they found that not only did they use it all, but it also came up with all sorts of different applications that sort of people couldn't have really even predicted when they were developing the GIG.
Right. And part of looking at GIG 2.0 is today we're sub-optimized in how we use all of that bandwidth because we still have firewalls in between each one of our services or each one of our networks that doesn't allow us to utilize all the bandwidth, one. Two, because we have different applications and different services, they don't easily share information, so it's still difficult to move information from Army to Navy to Air Force to Marine Corps, even, and how this got started was on the island of Guam when we're all located on one island, yet we have different networks and different policies and different constructs and different applications that don't talk to each other.
And talk to me a little bit, because that is the fascinating part of this, and I think that's what they're finding is this is the real, where a lot of that potential comes from. Talk to me a little bit about how GIG 2.0 does make that information sharing possible, does make that communication possible, does allow you to really work as a single fighting force rather than each individual service.
It starts with that vision and the direction being a joint fighting force and recognizing that we need to share information at the speed of command and the speed of the network. And to do that, we need to look at the different layers. We need to look at the hardware layer and say, do we need to have four or five different networks in one place and four or five different network operation centers that have four or five different firewalls? If you built the hardware layer to those common standards that the Department of Defense and the Joint Staff has laid out, then you don't need to have those firewalls. If you build the application services so you can move information, be it personnel information or financial information or common operational picture from one location to the other because the data is structured the same way, the service layer is structured the same way, and you have the infrastructure layer that's joint layer, you will greatly improve the efficiency of the information and get it into the hands of the commanders and those that need that to make the decision and take the actions they're directed to take.
So you're talking about, and I know it gets technical when you start talking about this stuff, but sometimes people start hearing layers and they go, oh my goodness, this sounds like it's going to be very, very difficult because a lot of folks don't like moving outside of their layers. Keep me very comfortable where I am. How do you go about actually making this happen?
One of the ways that I have heard some of the leadership, Vice Admiral Brown is one of those, as she is the Director of Communications on the Joint Staff, talk about this is to make comparisons to how we've made those changes in our personal life. So to the extent that there are a lot of social networking sites that we use personally, Facebook, LinkedIn, some of those where we have made a shift individually, culturally, to share information. The intelligence community, and there's been some articles in the press that have talked about what they've done on IntelLink that has taken some of those concepts of Web 2.0 to where you can instantly share information because it's in a shared space, then everybody can get to it instantaneously instead of waiting till it's emailed or put somewhere where I have to go and search for it. So how do we take that cultural change, which I believe we're all experiencing in our personal life, apply it in the military world, and as well provide the security so we know that the information that we're building and sharing is going to be secure.
It always, in fact, I write a column for Signal Magazine, and I'm writing up my one for whatever, a month and a half away. But I'm writing about email, and it's funny how so many people look at email as a collaborative system. And I always say email is essentially putting an electronic front end on a system that was a one-on-one, point-to-point communication system. It just made it happen a lot faster electronically. It's not really a collaborative source. And so everyone's sort of looking for the next kind of level where Facebook and all these things, where it is truly collaborative. You're doing things in collaborative spaces.
Right. And the concepts behind it. With email, it's not collaborative until I send it to whoever I decide to send it to, or then it gets forwarded, as opposed to the Facebook-like site or a wiki, which allows you to post the information. And then I can subscribe and say, hey, I want to hear anything about Guam. And so I then get a note that there's been information posted about Guam, and it allows me, similarly to Wikipedia, to where you can go and add to it or even potentially correct it. But then you have a much broader and richer cache of information that's immediately available as soon as that information's posted.
We're just about out of time, but what's the time frame for Gig 2.0? What kind of time space are we looking at?
I think you're looking at it at the time of what we might call the fit-up in defense terms, the next 5 to 7 years. They're looking at how can we start proving that this can work, and that's why we're looking at Guam and some other places where there's joint opportunities. And then how do we get in and build the new systems the way that they need to be, both the networks and the services? And then how do we transition the ones that are already there that wouldn't be replaced during that time period?